I'm the host, not the DJ. I'm your host, Sully. Here I am with Misty's Teresa Lee. Welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Gil Palmer, how are you, buddy?
Hello.
And Mike, not Nelson, Insing.
Yeah, Mike, not Nelson.
Introducing to the show on one of many guest spots is Jamie Ray from Favorite Five from Fans podcast. Welcome.
Nanu.
Yeah, there you go. Different kind of camp we're talking about.
Couple of guys here watch that live with me, I can tell.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we're recording this out of sequence, but it's going to be put in some kind of order. So we were just talking about this other Mystery Science Theater specials we could put together. And I just figured, hey, how about we, you know, we're going to talk about all the other, the Mads Are Back with Frank Khanna, the Riff Track stuff, the Cinematic Titanic. But one thing that comes up in so many of these conversations is, what team are you? Referring to which of the mocking androids do you get behind? Which of these bots do you find the funniest or just relate to with their persona? We got, again, the talking gumball machine, Tom Servo. We got the robotic chicken, Crow. And then we got the vacuum cleaner herself, Gypsy.
Oh, Gypsy.
Gypsy Moons. Yeah.
Well, I do like the fact now that Gypsy has a woman's voice, but
thank you.
It's no longer a guy pretending to have a feminine voice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of awkward and unpredictable. Yeah.
Yeah, she does make me want to watch the newer episodes more because they've given her some really clever lines.
And they can actually digitally insert her in the theater more.
Yeah, she jumps in. Yeah.
Fly.
Yeah. She does two or three riffs an episode. Yeah.
Honorable mention to Cambot even tilting his head more in the robotic band they got there. So we're going to circle around. You know, obviously you guys are all hardcore fans of this show and everything, but so the newbie goes first. So Jamie, out of all these VHS recordings and staying laid up instead of studying college papers, when did you join the Gizmoplex?
Well, I never had sci-fi and stuff. And the whole VHS. Oh. So I was a latecomer to it. Oh, I probably have only watched it for the last 15 years, maybe.
Hey, that's still good.
Yeah. And so I don't know if this is controversial, but I'm so a Mike guy than I am any of the other guys.
That's fine. I think everyone's past the whole, what team are you with the host? Because they're
good.
Everyone, you know, it's apples and oranges in that area. Is like,
yeah, exactly. That's how I kind of feel. I mean, Joel, of course, was the originator and set the pace. And
Mike was the lead writer who then just stepped in. And then Jonah, I mean, the first joke he made was, I think this is going to be a Doctor Who scenario where worst comes to worst, I get to be the fall guy because I'm told I'm not like Mike or Joel.
Right, exactly. You know, and they're doing a great job with it.
So Emily, I was honored to interview, and she's just awesome because she comes from the whole Jim Henson workshop and just has the whole just on the spot, just comedic timing.
Yeah. They're great. So anyway, so I fall into that range, and I will say of the three, I'm probably more of a Gypsy. I love Tom Servo. I love Mirror Tom Servo.
There you go.
Of all of them. You know?
I'll tell you what, my favorite host is Trace Bayou.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's the first bad guy you see.
Yeah. But anyway. Gypsy's just funny, and she's sweet and innocent, but then every once in a while you get that you know, there's a lot more to her under her plastic surface there. And I had that flashlight growing up, so I mean, just it's an attraction, you know, a big 12 volt battery. Oh yeah. So
That is a flashlight. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I fall right there, you know.
That is awesome. So which robot do you think you identify the most with, like, of this trio? Like, which one? I think you said before we offline, but I'll just let the viewers know.
Yeah. So I would, I guess I if I had a team, it would be Gypsy, but I definitely identify with Tom Servo, the Kraken jokes all the time. you know, that's just my thing. I'm always looking, you know, to find the humor. We've got enough depressing stuff in our lives in the real world. So I'm always trying to make someone laugh.
Don't want to be a danger to yourself and others.
No, not at all.
That's another riff.
Yeah.
No deep hurting. No more of that.
No, none at all. So I've got to say that. Now, if I had to pick in the wide range of robots, if we're going there yet, I always loved the nanites.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun, you know? Started, I think, back Revenge of the Creature, if I'm not mistaken. And then they were on a couple of different shows. But I just love big Star Trek fan. And so when I saw those, it was kind of reminded me like of the Exocomps and kind of, you know, so I love those too. But well, I guess Wesley, if I identify, Crusher. Yeah.
Wesley Crusher had a nanite episode. Yeah, I remember
exactly.
That.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, it was a total, I mean, just like Bobo and the apes blowing up the planet. They had so many Star Trek, Twilight Zone. And
well, they really like messing with Mike's hair, I'll tell you that.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Yes, they did.
Oh, man. You couldn't go anywhere without his hair being crazy. So, Teresa, it's been a minute. I think I know where you firmly are, but which robot team are you?
Yeah, I've always been Team Crow, because he's like the insecure creative type on the show. I identify because I want to make stuff and I have general anxiety going on.
Yes.
And Crow's insecurities and fears of being judged when he presents his work are always just the most fun moments on the show for me.
Right.
Like when he does his Earth versus Soup stuff and all
Earth
that.
Earth versus Soup, the slithering bowl of California cornucopia vegetable jubilee. He doesn't think, what does the audience want? He thinks, what is my message? What do I have to make? And then, oh my gosh, nobody knows what this is. Being judged.
Yeah, that is a good point. altogether, it's interesting just seeing how they just kind of vary, not only by era, but just random predicament, let alone what are the movie just pulls out the worst in them that day. Mm-hmm. Man. So Gil, what would you say is your personal like go-to bot? Like you would just want every figurine or poster of them?
Crow. Crow nice. Would be it with, Trace Bell, you, although, like I said, I like what Hampton Yount is doing. Yount, I never get his name right. Yount?
Hampton Yount. Yeah.
I like what he's been doing on it. I can't think of the actor's name, but, you know, like I said, even Bill Corbett, I even like what he's done with it, with Crow.
Especially when they were at that convention, like having a voice off, basically.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Bill Corbett was a little bit more, His sarcasm seemed to have more of an edge to it, especially when you know, he'd say things that would be like, oh, is that okay to say on TV kind of thing?
Yeah.
There's at least two or three instances I can think of.
Oh, especially in the movie. One of them just flat out just lets out a shit. That's how you really feel. Mike, how about you? How, you know, obviously the results host, but.
It's Crow and Servo. It's so close. Servo, he's got a fine singing voice. That gives him a little edge. You know, he's had several numbers where he sings. I'm talking about
not to be confused with the rapper Mr. Servon.
Right. I'm talking about the Kevin Murphy years. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he's more of the intellectual. Crow's like the class clown, mischief maker, and Servo's more intellectual.
Oh yeah.
Clever.
Totally.
Yeah.
So this is a weird predicament.
But it's close. They're very close, you know.
Oh, it is. It's so neck and neck. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
This is a presidential election. I'd be actually cool with whatever the outcome works for me. So yeah, growing up, I know my siblings were definitely all more into Servo and Hot Take. I actually didn't mind Jay Elvis' voiceover before Kevin immortalized it, because I was just like, hey, you know, they didn't know what they were doing the first year.
he had the total confidence. I liked his radio DJ approach.
Oh, totally.
That originated Servo.
That is true. Yeah, he would kind of open up with like a disc jockey kind of just get everyone rowdy. So I was kind of started out as a Servo guy, and I always liked Gypsy's musings, especially how she had a crush on movie star Richard Basehart, who surprisingly wasn't in any of these movies, but she secretly was like, that's the only way you're going to get me to watch this with you. This dreamy man is in this movie. So I kind of, despite his cynicism and kind of warmonger attitude, just his cartoonishness and just wanting to stretch himself literally, like sometimes he has just ginormous legs, I kind of just landed on the chicken himself, Crow. I just kind of, he just actually made an effort to actually talk like a real person. And I, like you guys kind of echoed, he was really good at just kind of bemusing or having dry wit mixed in with, oh dear, something's going to break on this satellite, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, you really can't go wrong with any of these picks. But which is why it's even harder, because it's like, who do we land on as the ultimate? But yeah, surprisingly, most of this is like kind of, we've all kind of switched sides at one point or another. Yeah.
But you know, yeah. It does go to show that they all work together well as a group, because if you just had one or just had the other, it wouldn't be the same feel to it. So they've got to play off. And it feels like sometimes Crow wins, sometimes Tom wins. You know, nobody's keeping score, but it's always like brothers almost.
They kind of are, if not cousins. Yeah, because Servo will start the whole just like an invention exchange, or just telling Crow, no, that's a bad idea. And Crow's often flying a spaceship or already dressed in a ridiculous uniform. And
well, there's the movie, the movie, This Island Earth. When it opens up with Crow, you know, poking a hole in the ship.
Yeah.
You know, and Crow's like, Mike, you wonder where he's at, what he's doing. You know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but.
Breach hole, all die. Wow, even had it underlined.
Yep. No, that was Crow reading from his own stuff. That's right.
And definitely a Monty Python-esque moment. It definitely feels like he must be dictating, you know. he'll even do that when he's in the movies, and it is funny how they all kind of have their go-to, while Corbett's version is kind of more just kind of reminding the hero they're kind of not the brightest. And Trace's Crow is interesting in that he kind of just lets out a bunch of just like impressions of the Elephant Man or McCloud, or
I saw him in a live show. Yeah, when I saw him in a live show, he called it something else. He called him not impersonations, but approximations is what he called
him. That sounds, yeah. How much of that is Trace Doggin versus Crow Doggin versus Trace as Crow Doggin? That's awesome.
Have they gotten rid of Cambot in the newer episodes?
Or if they multiplied Cambot, it's kind of like there are a lot of them, you know, and it's not one character.
Yeah, like Servo, they got a bunch of them.
Okay, because Cambot actually did do a riff or two. Do you remember what they were during the?
It was weird. Like I forget who voiced him too. Was it like Paul Chaplin or Pearl?
Well, he didn't talk. He didn't talk, but he did a visual thing twice.
That's what it was.
There's one where he was he's crying in one.
Yeah. And then Side Hackers with the standings or whatever. There was some kind of chart he put up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look at it.
Yeah, and it was boredom versus movie.
Oh, okay. Which was quite okay. Boredom. I was just reading that new book, book on Mystery Science Theater, and he mentioned it, the author.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the great and powerful Google says episode 1313, which was the Turkey Day Marathon, was the last time Cambot appeared.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And 13.
So yeah, he does show up in the newer seasons. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. 13 is Gizmoplex, right? They had 11, 12 was Netflix. So
is he in the, do they do the robot roll call in the new theme? I can't remember.
I thought they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they must, okay. I guess they do mention GPC. Okay. They must have Cambot in there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just a little, I got off the track there a little bit.
Wait a minute.
No, he's in, we got to give him a little credit there.
Hey, yeah. Robot's a robot.
Yeah.
Indeed.
What do you think about the new robots they've thrown in? I can't remember their names, but ones like the piano playing Muppet.
Mm-hmm.
Brawler.
Yeah. Brawler, yeah.
Yeah. And the orange ones. And Waverly.
Yep.
I just liked how they would actually sometimes invade the theater. I know some people weren't keen on that season, but I just thought, hey, at least they're trying something different and new instead of just, let's see what host we can have who has a hot take on a movie, you know?
Yeah. I've only gone through the newer stuff once, maybe twice. So I haven't really, you really got to watch them about 12 or 13 times before you can make an honest decision.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, unless it's like, again, like Star Trek, where it's like, okay, saw it twice, still don't like it, or I still love it. And then just say, okay, it's immortalized to me now.
No, that show's always so multi-layered, though. You can watch them over and over. You still pick up stuff. Plus, as you get older, you know what a reference means when you're five years older that you miss the first time, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much going on in those shows. It's, yeah, it's just...
Kudos to them for always putting on a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it the first time, you know, pretty much by myself. Anybody I was involved with didn't really care for it. So I was usually watching them by myself, and then my wife, we've been together going on 14 years now, and I enjoyed introducing them to her because she really seemed to enjoy them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Have y'all ever talked about what your favorite episode is?
We were kind of doing just like by era, like what are the best ones.
But yeah,
we've been off track because I've been battling insomnia and all other kinds of things, but over that now. But yeah, it's, that's a good point. What does one do to kind of just keep it up and running? And I've always loved going to the live shows.
Yeah, so we've got it on we've got the channel, the Riff Track channel here, and then on my TV in the front it's got the Mystery Science Theater channel. So nice. There's always one on. Yeah, and they're free.
Yeah,
you know, you just gotta have the Pluto app, or I forget the front one. Maybe
we go to sleep to them on Fridays and Saturday nights.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it'll be playing while we're sleeping too. We'll wake up to it because we'll wake up periodically through the night and we're like, oh, there's that episode.
Yeah,
yeah.
So of course I gotta ask, because it's favorites, what's your go-to favorite episode if you just gotta watch one?
Mine would be Space Mutiny, I think.
Tied with that and Pod People.
Space Mutiny was just on yesterday. Teresa? Okay,
looking it up again, all three robots have really strong moments in the first Gamera movie.
Yes! Oh my god, it wasn't that bad.
During the theaters and Servo's song to Tibby is in that one.
Yeah, I love it.
Reality is hard.
I can't pick out a favorite. There's some. I'd almost have to go with the first one I watched, which was King Dinosaur.
Oh, there and you go. When I got Robert Vaughn.
Yeah, because I was flipping channels a couple times and ran across it and watched for a couple seconds. I go, this is dumb. But then then you, I went back to, okay, that was the episode I actually sat and watched the whole thing. Like I tuned in late, but during the short, but that's when I never watched it again after that. So then I started trying to, you know, catch up on all the ones I missed. So
it's funny which one.
So probably King Dinosaur is probably my favorite. Just for, you know, because the fact that it's the one that I first saw, you know.
Right.
You know,
pulled me in.
Another one would be Puma Man, because it has such a Greatest American Hero vibe to it.
Yeah, right. It is kind of like that. Yeah. Oh man!
You know, one of my favorites, and it's kind of got a robot centric part to it, is it's called Werewolf, or Arizona Werewolf.
Werewolf, yeah.
Yeah, you know, where a crow bites Mike, and he becomes a werewolf.
Becomes a were crow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And then I just recently did a show on favorite werewolves. And
yes, you did.
Yep. She was the one of my favorite werewolves. She did it. But that one, anytime it's on, wherever it is, I stop and finish it out. It's just it so bad.
Your
it's
attention. Good. Yep.
Yes, it does.
I really want to try. I really want to try to find the uncut version of that, just because I want to see what's not in there.
Yeah.
There's not much. I know in one version they had some nudity, but I think it's just like overseas. But for the most part, it's just more teeth gritting and more a lot of nothing happening. But it is funny how it does make you curious about these movies, that while they are far from highbrow, it gives you a bigger appreciation on all these cheesy, independent, and just do it yourself kind of movies too. It's like, hey, that could be me in 20 years.
That's right.
would I take it with a grain of salt, or would I take it with a honor? Yeah, whatever gets me in the door, man.
That's right.
Werewolf, is that the one with the, that is absolutely fascinating. Is that one?
Yes, the woman. Yeah. That's okay. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. The read is so like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't even know what fascinating means when she reads it.
Yeah, it does have a Troll 2 kind of vibe, where whoever they hired, English was not their first language. No. And
probably not even second.
Yeah, whoever was doing the moderating did not pick this out.
I would say another one, though, has got to be Jack Frost. And that's more for the movie than of course, the whole river dance part is fantastic, but it's such a crazy movie, and I'll watch that one. The same thing. Oh, that, mother, come out!
That's that Finnish movie.
Yeah, with the Baba Yaga, where the house stands up on the chicken legs and spins around. Yeah.
No, she's not gonna kick again. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Yeah, good stuff. Stuff.
Another one of my favorites is Time of the Apes, when Crow's commenting on the fashion. I'm always looking for Japanese Colonel Sanders in any of the Japanese movies. He's maybe a government scientist or something. I don't know.
First episode I ever saw all the way through. It has that effect on us, where you're just like, of course someone would make a movie like this.
And it was a TV show originally for that.
Right. Even then, to just be ambitious and try and make a plot out of something that's a very dense story. Oh man,
not kind inspired by Planet of the Apes in any way, right?
No way, shape, or form.
No.
Wait, are they both monkeys? That's what a coincidence.
But the original Planet of the Apes was a Japanese novel.
Before it was an American movie.
All right. Okay. It's French, I believe.
All right, but
I thought it was Kobo Abe.
No,
am I wrong?
There could be two of them, but I know the Planet of the Apes novel was by a French.
Yeah, I heard of the French connection before, you know, for that, but yeah.
No pun.
Now, there could have been a movie
that was coming
before the Charlton Heston version.
Yeah.
And they could have done that.
Oh, Pierre Boulez. I can't pronounce his name.
Nope, there you go.
1963 novel. But then Rod Serling worked on it too.
Right. There was this Michael great Wilson comic book crossover they did where they used an unused Sterling script where they had a Captain Kirk and Planet of the Apes crossover.
They recently did a Kong and Planet of the Apes crossover.
Did they really? Oh man. Yes. Did Marvel officiate this?
No, it was.
Dana Gould did a wonderful
graphic
sketch.
Novel. Yeah.
Well, and then he did a hysterical sketch where he was doing a fundraiser where he was playing Dr. Zaius.
Oh, he's got a YouTube talk show where he's Dr. Zaius.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like the 8 to 12, 15 minute show he puts out. He's done about 15, 30 of them.
Yeah, I've heard about that, but I haven't.
Hanging with Dr. Z. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's really. But he if you watch his Facebook post, he puts himself as Dr. Zaius into all these old, like sitting around with Burt Reynolds and stuff, you know, it's funny stuff.
Someone had to do it.
Anyway. Yeah. We were talking about the robots, all right?
No, it's so fine. But hey, that's how.
Well,
that's how the show goes too. It keeps going off on these tangents, but that's what's fun about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I did it. Yeah, totally. To be in the
What's the name of the actor that does Tom Servo for the Jonah episodes? I've seen him in TV before, but I can't think of his name.
Oh, Baron Vaughn. Yeah. He is awesome.
Oh yeah, he plays the time guy too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really enjoy what he's been doing with Servo.
Mm-hmm. He's been on everything from Grace and Frankie, and I was fortunate enough before I caught up and saw the new MST to see him on one of those Showtime like multi comic specials. He did one that had Dion Cole from Conan and a bunch of others, and just killed it. It didn't even have to resort to any profanity or shock value. I was dying. It's like, this guy, he's got wit cut out for him. That is definitely his number one. Yeah, it's just awesome how many careers have been made by it, let alone how many have just.
Well, he already kind of had one before, the guy that did Tom Servo.
Oh yeah, Baron definitely had one, but just, he's so great when you even hear him on just podcasts, just talk about anything, life, economics, politics. He doesn't really get into as much racial comedy as you would think he would, but if you want to, he'll totally have a very mature conversation. And he just reminds me very much of Aisha Tyler. And it's like, hey, I'm black and I'm a geek.
I mean, come on, he was on Lower Decks. I mean, how more geeky can you be?
That's true too. Yeah, that was a good voiceover. I couldn't believe it. Him and some of the voices are funny to look out for because you just don't. They always zap you when you least expect it. And it was even wackier when they had Jillian Jacobs from Community, you know, Britta, and they actually kind of drew her character to look almost exactly like how she looks like in real life. So I was like, hey, interesting, because everyone else does not look like how they look like in real life.
No. Well, speaking of robots, you made me think of the ExoComp in Lower Decks. That girl is hilarious.
Yeah,
that was wild. For those who don't know, Lower Decks is basically the Archer South Park version of Star Trek. More PG-13 though.
And it has a new season coming out. Unlike, we won't name Prodigy.
Yeah. And Prodigy was interesting because it's like it was, even though it got pulled off recently, I got into it with some Star Trek guys who were just like, oh, that's more Star Trek. I'm like, this is more Star Wars space pirates with a Star Trek ship. But the beauty of Trek is that there's one formula with a different style. So you don't, just like the Law and Orders, you don't have to go with just one or two or even like it all. But
or seven.
And unlike some of the other shows that do crossovers, you can see them appearing on each other's show without killing the flow or feeling like they don't belong with the whole connected universe. It's not like NCIS where it's like, yeah, there's no way these guys are in the same room. They're on a different computer screen.
There's going to be a crossover between Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds.
Yep.
I think
that just came out. Just came out. They burst into song. I didn't know how they were going to do it at first. If they were going to have them be in an alternate timeline, they're like, nope, they're in live action form for this because we drew them just like the actors. So
Yeah. And they look to the live action versions of them. I mean, they're spot on.
Yeah. Jake Quaid has been on The Boys and doing this back and forth. And the other voice mm-hmm. actress is also just hysterical. She's done yeah. a lot of behind the scenes writing for Daily Show type stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was mainly familiar with the guy who plays her mother, the captain, because she has done a lot of TV and voiceovers too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm loving it. And it's a treat for the eyes. I mean, just everywhere you look, there's something going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And much like Misty's, track fans are pretty chill for the most part. It's only been kind of recently where we saw some who were kind of getting a little too radical. And it's like, okay, I think you missed the point of Star Trek. It's not about sexy people doing cool shit with swords and guns. It's about
right
there's space cops slash doctors slash cowboys going from planet to planet, and it's the Lost in Space formula on steroids, you know. That's what it was. But it's funny,
did you watch the first three seasons? Because
yeah,
that's
just the two. They're never great their first year, and I saw so many people just blah 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 blah, this sucks. I'm like, well, that's what they said about the last five shows. They weren't right. there yet. Now here's another side question. Who's a better space captain? Is it Joel and his calmness, or is it Mike and his crashing a ship?
Mm.
Or is it Jonah and Emily's kind of...
Well, they got to, you know, this last season, they got to interplay like three different ones all at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, the last episode. Yeah.
It's true.
All three of them, they rotated them.
They're interesting space captains. I don't even know if you'd call them a captain. They're just the pilot on deck.
And they act more like roomies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Roommates, and that's the thing. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't. If they don't get blown up by an asteroid, then they still wouldn't that suck if you were in a movie theater on that damn ship and you in an asteroid or space shutdown or oxygen supply got cut off. What do I do then? Nice knowing you.
No, I'm picturing like the last episode of the original run, and Mike and the bots on Earth, and then what do you see? You see him sitting in front of a TV watching movies.
Right, like nothing ever happened. It's changed.
Yeah, and it was The Crawling Eye, which was the first movie of the series. Yeah. I think one of the bots says, this movie sounds familiar. Yeah. That was funny. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which monster from those movies do you think they'd actually get along with, or Crow would actually tame, or Crow might even be a mad scientist in bot form and just say, hey, this is our monster, treat him right. Because it seems that's just it. Like, they don't fear anybody.
Well, there was a lot of love for Mega Weapon.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Oh my God. Mega Weapon.
They met Mega Weapon. He was cool to them.
Yeah. There, that, them and Gamera. Yeah. Up here on the screen.
maybe the gargoyles.
The gargoyles would be funny. Some of the other bats, or I can imagine just even some of the other sword and sorcery ones, like Deathstalker or Ator coming on the screen. And they're like, man, you need a bigger loincloth, dude. I'm seeing your ass. Crow would be working out in the gym with him, trying to get buff, even though he's a robot.
He's got to put some silly putty on those arms and boom.
Right. Oh man,
there was, what was the episode where he was actually buffed up for?
I remember that when you were saying
Man, I think it was one of the other just kind of dating comedies or Ed Wood movies. I know is that if Mitchell or Geronimo the Third, any of those Jodan Baker villains, they would definitely space out if that's possible. I'd be like, this dude's rude. Some of the other biker guys they'd probably fend off with. Crow would definitely get along with the villain in I Accuse My Parents, because he seems like a nice guy when he's not being a gangster, which is so ironic.
I'd be interested to see the werewolves on wheels. Just ride up one day.
Totally. Imagine if they went for another go on the space mutiny escape pods that they anchor go-karts and didn't have enough common sense to use to escape.
Yeah, you could get out of those go-karts and run faster.
Oh, now you're talking. Yeah, space mutiny. Okay.
Yeah, space mutiny.
I know. It's tough to keep up with. We probably lost half the audience. We're like, I thought you were talking about the robots.
We should just say robot every once in a while to make the algorithm's sake.
Bot.
That Space Mirror doesn't have the go-kart chase where he crashes a guy and does this. The hero of the movie.
Captain America himself.
That's right. That was him. And then they made fun of his. Doesn't he yell like this effeminate scream at one point too? Or something.
He did that throughout the entire movie. Slab beefsteak or whatever they called him.
Yeah, that was staircases. The they kept talking about the staircases all the time too.
And he's in good shape for his age. I saw him at a con not too long ago, and I was like, damn. And it was cool because he had the Captain America shirt, some nice jeans on, and like flip-flops.
Love Reb Brown.
Yeah. I was like, love you, Reb.
He's good sense of humor. And
he does. He does.
That says a lot for all the other B-movie guys who just were bad sports or acting like, oh, you can make fun of it, but only if you pay me X amount.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you made the movie for peanuts. You got to chill.
You got to be in a movie with Christopher Lee, so you know.
Yeah, you get what you get.
The Howling 2.
Right? Yeah. Oh, I finally was able to get the Blu-ray of that, and Steve Johnson, the makeup guy, is hysterical. Where he's like, I don't think anyone in their right mind considers this a good movie, but I enjoyed working on this stupid movie.
Well, they kept rewinding the same scene over and over again at the end of the movie. I kind of enjoyed it though.
Tubular, boobular joy. So does Servo come off as kind of full of himself, or does he just like to laugh at his own jokes because he's nervous?
Well, you remember his theme song to O Fortuna from Carmina Burana. Magnifico, Tom Servo.
He does love to stroke his ego, and Crow doesn't come off to me as a prude or perb, but he's definitely, he wants to get laid. As PG in terms of that wording as you can make it, like
right.
Although Servo has the most Pinocchio syndrome of any of them.
Yes,
he became a real boy at one point.
Right, and
did he get like a human head at some point?
Yeah.
Oh man,
for the time he was completely nude.
There's that. I've jotted down, it's still a work in progress, but I have a roster of how many times his head's exploded or Crow's jawline has fallen off or like you say, like where gumball has come out of their head, or even just like you say, just under even times where you can even see the puppeteer's hand in the same shot accidentally.
By the time he was a game of Kaboom and they wanted to pop him.
Or they're operating on him. Oh my God.
So here's a good question then. What's better, the early robots that were kind of, you know, slammed together, or the cleaner, slicker ones from much later in the series?
You're talking KTMA?
Yeah, from early, like from the, I don't know, the first.
I kind of have some nostalgia for the earlier Gypsy because it was just so ambitious. Even
like a garbage can.
Yeah, even though it didn't look complete, it was still just interesting just seeing them try to give life. And they definitely changed her up quite a bit, even during KTMA with only the flashlight remaining.
Yeah, I think it was better when they had them streamlined and they'd gotten the voices down better. And
definitely
really started to figure them out.
Season 2 through 9, yeah, for sure.
They needed to do some work.
I wish KTMA.
I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah, and I do wish on IMDb they could make it less distracting and label season 1 as season 0, so it would confuse people less.
Yeah, that's right. IMDb does show KTMA as season 1, correct?
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which doesn't match any
of the books. Yeah.
Right, and Joel has even said it himself. It's like, that's our rough draft. That's not even considered a complete
episode. It's the dress rehearsal season. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like the SNL deleted for time skits.
It's still fun to watch. It's totally.
To see the work in progress,
but yeah.
I even surprised some other Misties who have their own. I'm friends with Chris Page on the Time Shifters, and he was reminding himself like last year. He's like, oh my God, I actually haven't seen all of KTMA. I thought it was just season 1 of Comedy Central. So it's just interesting how everyone goes in waves, just figuring out What side of the fandom?
I'd love to see all the KTMA, but I've only been able to get my hands on about half of them.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube finally. Yeah, but yeah.
All of them?
Okay.
Except
there's still one missing, the green
slime.
Right?
Yeah, the green slime. They've just shown clips of that at Comic-Con.
Well, that was actually, I don't think it was actually, it was like a 15-minute test drive thing.
Kind of, and somehow the episode bit the dirt.
Well, I think the only KTMA that's never been aired was repeated later on Comedy Central.
Oh. I will admit, it's rough seeing the earlier Gamera ones, but seeing all the other ones, I had a lot of fun with, just because they're all bizarre Russian or just international TV movies of the week that had a disaster formula. Just kind of just something more milder, as opposed to what they became later known as, the, you know, Sleazy Detective or Monster Movie or Sword and Sorcery Show.
Yeah, I think Star Force Alien, Fugitive Alien 2, which was episode 318 later, is one that no one has. But the rest, if you were a Kickstarter backer, Joel gave you episodes 1 and 2. I remember that. I've got them, so. Which, and real good quality, too. So.
That's great. And see, kudos to Shout and company for even wanting to remaster all these, you know, just because we didn't have this right away. We just had the, you know, logo in the right-hand corner. And I could tell it was always going to be around, because I remember even, I think, in the mid-2000s, I would keep seeing blooper shows, and they would almost always show a segment of one of the poopy tapes, you know, just of Frank not being able to say a tongue twister.
They did two. They got two of those, the blooper ones.
Right. But like, I would see these in like actual like NBC like best blooper specials during the 2000s.
Oh, really? They
had, that's cool. They released a tape called Poopy.
Right.
And the one thing I remember standing out about that was seeing Crow catch on fire. And he was pretty much destroyed, but they still managed to use him in another skit at one other time, and I can't remember what skit that was. But
a lot of that, you'd like also to see Trace was in the shot and stuff like that on that. Seen those,
right?
Or I don't think on Soul Brother, Trace, Frank just cracking up over and over and over.
Oh, no way. Yeah. He just cannot help himself.
It's like a 5-minute run of him just, he couldn't get through the line. So, or Trace too. I think they're both laughing. But in that, the William Conrad refrigerator, they just kept it in on the show. Remember that? When they couldn't get, they were talking about the Invention Exchange and the William Conrad alarm for your fridge, and, just, and who's gonna want this? What did he say?
Oh my god!
The producer of the shows. Yeah. that was a good bit.
I do miss the Invention Exchanges. I mean, they brought it back with some of this, but it's still. I mean, I hope no one forgets it, because prop comedy is just so hard to do. I mean, sure, you've had Gallagher and company do stuff like that, but I do hope people remember how exquisite a trait and skill set it is to have, instead of just a magician. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, you know, I like the Invention Exchange. Mike, when he took over, he did it for a little bit, but then he kind of got away from it because it really wasn't his thing.
Right.
He was more like musical skits and that kind of stuff.
Right. And in all fair, stick with what you're good at. I mean, there were some hysterical songs during his time, but I just always applauded the Invention Exchange, not just because of the work that went into creating those bits that may or may not work, but just kind of, it reminded me of just a typical like SNL or even a Whose Line type improv sketch show. It's like, on the spot, that you can't tell them anything that will just kill them. It's like, they are selling you on something you're not going to buy. it kind of reminded me of the whole Scenes from a Hat, you know, just, that, you know, things to sell that are bad ideas. Every once in a while, there'd be one in there who's like, you know what? Not too shabby. I might just buy that. Oh.
So, I'm sorry. Did y'all say that Star Force is not available anywhere?
I think KTMA.
The KTMA version.
Oh, okay.
Is the one that no one has. Right.
Yeah, no, the
okay.
Somebody probably does somewhere, but
right. Oh, yeah, probably.
That's the one that hasn't made the underground trading list and all that.
So. It's
the one I've been wanting to see. The one I've been wanting to see from KTMA, which I haven't yet, is the Mysterions episode.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's out there on YouTube now. I really want to go back and look, but
I think it's still on there. Yeah. It's even funnier how many of these movies you might have unofficially seen in one of those Mill Creek DVD Blu-ray packs. You know?
Oh, Revenge of the Mysterions?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah, I think Joel gave Kickstarter backers that one too. He gave us two episodes, so I'm pretty sure that was.
Because weren't they like the Thunderbirds type characters or something?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. The puppets, yeah.
Which is a good way to start the series. Invaders from the Deep was the actual first episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Green Slime was the...
It's almost as confusing as Star Princess, the Space 1999 compilation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Or Cosmic Princess, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that's the one, yeah.
That's okay. Hey.
It's tough to keep up with all these nutty movies.
The last chase with Lee Majors. That was
wild. I was guffawing. Good movie. Some users were like, that was kind of the Battlefield Earth of its.
I think that's another one I haven't seen yet.
You dig that one?
I've heard about it, but yeah.
I kind of wish if there was one they could probably redo, I wouldn't mind if they did Phase 4 again, because it's just.
Yeah.
Nothing to it.
The one with the
ants killing people, man.
Yeah.
Ants functioning as a computer, pretty much.
Right. It's kind of surreal in a way.
Yeah, that was clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. The writer of that, The Worst We Can Find book, says that was an odd choice for the show, but he did a clip of it. But yeah. It's not your typical MST episode or movie. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good book.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got done reading it. So.
Fun one.
All right.
Well, this has been a delight having you on here as always. And anything anyone would want to promote?
I want to just say thank you for inviting me. This has just been a blast. I don't really have a lot of people around that we talk about Mystery Science Theater.
Really?
But when I do, they look at me weird. So,
welcome to the club. Just describing it. I always knew when you describe something, you pitch it, you keep it brief.
Mm-hmm. It's like trying to explain Black Mirror to somebody. So the first episode, wait a minute. So the second episode.
The Outer Limits, yeah. And I always had to tell people, it's like, okay, so a janitor and two robots are trapped in space and forced to watch bad movies, but everyone else would want to just describe it all, and it's like that you've lost him after the first sentence. I just saw their eyes go dead. Don't keep it as it was a good thing for me because it reminded me.
I remember
me.
Years ago trying to explain it, and people thought I was talking about Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah,
you know, you know,
I'd actually,
but that's a long time ago.
I'd actually give tapes for people to watch, and then
they'd
come back to me and they'd say, they were talking during the movie.
Yeah, they missed the point.
And I'm like, did you hear what they were saying?
Why do you think it's on Comedy Central? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the interplay. Yeah.
But I've
described the show as comedy records with visuals.
Exactly. No, okay. It's a total that is a great description. It is a total National Lampoon.
Yeah. And it's funny how other things are being described as Mystery Science Theater now. So you can say, you know, this show's like Mystery Science
Theater.
You are
1,000% correct. And we're seeing the Joe Bob resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me how I would even tease a few other people. It's like, okay, you watched Svengoolie. I was seeing Svengoolie, but I didn't know his name. Elvira, surely you know Elvira. So it's funny how so many others, they saw a variation of it, but most of them were just familiar with just kind of...
jokes in between the movies and
or Tiger Lily or even Spinal Tap type mockumentary. They were just familiar with
Fire Sign Theater. They did something I have called Hot Shorts where they took like these movie serials and then they do their own dialogue over them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They redubbed them. Yeah.
Whose Line did a version of that where they had to dub it, but movie dub, but yeah, it's
What's Up, Tiger Lily, the Woody Allen movie?
There was even a actually a TV show in the early 80s where they did dialogue
Mad,
over
Mad Movies with the LA Connection.
That's it.
Even DVDs took over and people would remember, hey, isn't that the one where the infamous movie and the director apologizes the entire time? Yeah, this is like the new variations of this, but it's like they would always discover this by accident or just with finally enough urging or just casually. And it's like, really? That's how you got into it? Okay.
Whatever it takes.
I do like how everything's all branched out now. I mean, you got Mystery Science Theater's come back. You've got some crew, you know, the crew that worked at the end of Mystery Science Theater. They're doing riff tracks.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and then Trace and Frank once a month.
Yeah, doing the Mads.
Yeah,
are
those
back.
Guys are gods. So glad I could talk to them because they're my heroes. Like, I think all of them are in our DNA more than we realize. You know, I applaud any of them for whenever they got something ambitious. I know it's going to pay off.
Yeah.
I love how Mary Jo and Bridget can do their own thing on bizarre chick flicks and disaster movies. You know, just
they did a whole bunch of like Sherlock Holmes stuff that
there was one on right before.
Absolutely.
And recently they even did a Charlie Chan. I think they did Charlie Chan movie recently.
With Karloff?
I think so.
Charlie Chan.
No, yeah, Boris Karloff played Charlie Chan for a few movies.
Oh, no, he wasn't in this movie.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, it was horrible. I mean,
Well, what's nice, too, about the new incarnations, you got the Mads are back once a month and Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater, and they're doing fan interaction now.
I'm glad that they squished all those Q&A. Awful rumors, acting like none of them got along. It's like, no,
right.
We're all doing our own thing. We're all on our own. We only have time for X amount. We'll do a reunion show, you know, every 5 years. But
well, you know, I enjoy them all. I even enjoy some of the people, you know, like Master Pancake does a thing I enjoy too. So
I want to go to those so bad. It's up in Austin.
The Texas shows,
Yeah, in San Antonio. And
yeah. Well, he'd like I just check out what they got on Twitch.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary Jo's show's tomorrow.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
Does she do Twitch?
Yeah.
I think she does.
Yeah. She does a lot of old ABC movies of the week.
Something cheap she can find on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Becky, my wife and I haven't had a chance to check her out yet, but we've been meaning to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For her shows.
But again, they're taking questions from the fans after the show and stuff.
Absolutely.
Too, which is really neat.
Chris
is really nice.
Back is good.
I've been on there a few times. My questions.
That's good. I realize so many podcasts owe more to, and YouTube shows owe so much to MST3K. I don't think you would have had that resurgence in 07 just because it was a certain kind of quirky humor and appreciating just, again, infamous movies that kind of have a soul, you know.
Well, you know, I have two podcasts I listen to that I really enjoy. Film Sack is one.
Oh, nice.
And then another one would be How Did This Get Made with Paul Spears.
Yep. Mandzukas is a god. And June Diane Raphael, I always light up because I will recognize her. And I'm like, and so what's funny is people will get her mistaken for like Sarah Chalk. I'm like, no, that's June. How'd this get made? she's been in a lot of things, Playing House, the newer Muppets mockumentary show, just everything. And anytime she sounds great, it's like, oh, I just know they're going to cast her as some quirky character. And Paul, I had known for years, but I didn't know his name, but his laugh is kind of contagious.
He actually does a voice on Lower Deck.
Yes.
And Mandzukas was on somewhat Prodigy.
Yeah. He was on Prodigy as like the bigger alien guy pirate. Yeah. I'm kudos to anyone who can play a cool character in Star Trek and not be a red shirt. Although, imagine if they had that on MST3K, if they had a bunch of people running their ship and they did a Star Trek spoof, I'd watch it.
Like the time Mike was Janeway for a minute.
Yeah, and they go in a mirror universe.
Was that the final episode too? I think that was the final episode.
One of the final ones, but
or it might have been the Comedy Central final episode.
That was on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it was Sci-Fi. But
was it Sci-Fi?
But in all fairness, they did do plenty of other just weird stuff on later Comedy Central, like especially when the Mads switched places with them and they had to react to a movie.
Yeah, I, kind of wanted to see more of that kind of stuff.
I did too. It was like, how funny would it be if they, like, I don't know, got stranded on the ship with them and they had to share quarters.
Yeah, that was a takeoff on a Star Trek episode, original series.
Yep, the Mirror Universe. evil Spock. And if there's anything Mike does well, it's definitely being evil.
Well, he shows up as like, there's one where he shows up as, I'm not sure if it's an alternate universe where it's his brother.
He's
real thuggish. He's mean. He kicks Servo around and smoking a cigarette.
A metal band called Sex Factory.
He's like standing up in the theater. He's standing up in the theater. Yeah.
Good parody of time travel tropes.
Yeah.
I'm a different kind of asshole in this lifetime. Okay, this has been Dynamite Gang. And
awesome.
Keep knocking the roof off this place.
All right.
So glad to have been here. Appreciate it. And we got a show every Friday. Fave Five from Fans.
Five.
Yeah, you could find it.
At all. You have done favorite 70s TV.
80s slashers.
Yeah, favorite 80s slasher. But it's just five. Pick five. Pick a hand. Yep.
And it's my favorite one so far has been favorite guest stars on a TV show.
Yes.
More than twice, but less than 10.
Right. Just someone who's just like,
it's called Fave Five.
Fave Five from Fans. And we come on every week. Anybody, if any of y'all have something that you specifically you guys love and you want to come on,
you guys will definitely dig the favorite cyborg and android characters one.
We have different people every time.
Favorite villains who are kind of right.
that was a lot of meta
because it's like, oh my god.
Makes you think,
he did all these hideous things. He was actually kind of wrong. Yeah.
So, always looking for new people, looking for guests. Anybody want to come on or just listen to us? If you like the show, tell somebody you like it. If you don't like the show, tell somebody you hate. Maybe it'll ruin their afternoon.
We can't do that to you.
So thanks so much. Again, it was really a pleasure being here.
Anytime, my dude. Right. And with that, we are out.
Out.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up Review Show.